These days, most law firms use external providers to help with large document reviews and other tasks, a practice that is sometimes called outsourcing. Although outsourcing can be convenient and cost-effective, it implicates several ethics rules that lawyers should consider before hiring a vendor. I'm Terry Garland, and you are listening to The Portable Ethics Lawyer. Today, we're joined by Claudia Resta, Senior Loss Prevention Counsel at ALAPS, who will discuss the relevant rules and issues. Welcome, Claudia.
Thanks, Terry. Glad to be here.
So how do the ethics rules approach outsourcing?
Today, I'm going to focus on the ABA model rules. The lawyer should check the rules adopted in relevant jurisdictions. The model rules don't explicitly address outsourcing, but ABA Formal Opinion 451 explains how the rules apply to it. There's also an earlier opinion on temporary lawyers that is relevant, and we'll discuss that too.
Great. What does ABA Opinion 451 advise lawyers to do?
As an initial step, lawyers need to consider whether they can outsource the work and still provide competent and ethical representation as required under Rule 1.1. If they can't, then outsourcing isn't a good option. Assuming they can, lawyers still need to provide the proper level of supervision. The rules address supervision separately. It depends on whether the work is performed by lawyers or other professionals. The opinion and the relevant rule call other professionals non-lawyers. In addition, lawyers who outsource work should consider whether confidentiality can be maintained, whether the lawyers need to inform the client, if client consent is required, and how fees are paid. Not just that, but the outsourcing lawyer also needs to confirm conflicts are cleared and ensure the work isn't considered the unauthorized practice of law. Sounds easy, doesn't it?
That's certainly a lot to think about. Let's walk through each of those issues, starting with what it means to provide competent representation.
Sure. You want to make sure the parties can provide the same level of service you would expect if they worked at your firm. How do you do that? A good starting point is by reviewing their experience and interviewing them. You want to ask questions to determine if they have the right skills, whether they have a good reputation, and if they have the means to accomplish the work.
It sounds like the lawyer should conduct due diligence on the providers they are considering. In addition to competence, are there other factors a lawyer should consider when assessing a potential provider?
Yes. We all know lawyers have a duty to maintain confidentiality. As part of your diligence, you want to confirm the vendor is aware of this duty and has safeguards in place to ensure confidentiality, and that those safeguards apply to their employees and the entire company. You'll want to understand how that party approaches confidentiality. If there are data security risks, consider involving your IT professionals to review the approach and be involved in communications to fully understand the data security side.
Speaking of confidentiality, what else should firms do to protect it beyond conducting due diligence when selecting the provider?
In addition to what we've already talked about, Opinion 451 strongly advises firms to use written confidentiality agreements when outsourcing work. It also directs the outsourcing lawyer to verify that the provider does not work for adversaries of the outsourcing lawyer's clients on the same or substantially related matters.
That sounds like the standard for evaluating conflicts involving former clients. Would you expand on that?
Absolutely. When it comes to outsourcing to other lawyers, Opinion 356 states that a temporary lawyer who works on a matter for a client of a firm is considered to be representing that client for purposes of the conflicts rules relating to both former and current clients. The trickier question is whether the conflicts of the firm are imputed to the temporary lawyer and vice versa under Rule 1.10. It's a fact-specific inquiry, and firms should be sure to check the relevant jurisdiction for their rules, as requirements may vary. Most firms address this issue by asking the temporary lawyer to fill out a conflicts questionnaire and analyzing the information, but some firms rely on the placement agency to clear conflicts. When the firm is outsourcing work to non-lawyers, the conflicts rule don't apply directly to them. But, as I mentioned earlier, the lawyer who hires them must ensure that they conduct themselves in a manner that's compatible with the lawyer's obligation. This would include screening for conflicts. The key takeaway we want lawyers to be aware of is that checking for conflicts is a critical step. It can't be overlooked, and you should consult with your general counsel if you have any questions.
Back when we started, you mentioned supervision. How does that apply when the work is outsourced?
That's a complicated issue. The rules distinguish between work based on whether it's performed by lawyers or non-lawyers. Rule 5.1 states that a lawyer having direct supervisory authority over another lawyer must make reasonable efforts to ensure that the other lawyer conforms to the rules of professional conduct. Even though comment one says this rule applies to lawyers who have supervisory authority over the work of other lawyers in a firm, a footnote in opinion 451 explains that the same obligations apply to outsourcing. This means that the outsourcing lawyer must make reasonable efforts to ensure that the lawyers doing the work conform with the ethics rules. It's critical that lawyers understand that you cannot delegate away the duty to render competent legal advice. So you need to make sure you're appropriately overseeing any outside work.
What about when the work is performed by non-lawyers?
Rule 5.3 covers that. It says a lawyer who employs, retains, or associates with non-lawyers must make reasonable efforts to ensure that the person's conduct is compatible with the professional obligations of the lawyer. When it comes to non-lawyer work, Rule 5.3 also contains an additional provision that comes into play when clients direct the lawyer to select a particular non-lawyer service provider for outsourcing. In that case, comment 4 allows the lawyer and client to agree about the allocation of responsibility for monitoring the outsourced work. We suggest lawyer do this when appropriate and to document those communications. However, we want to caution lawyers that even when the client bears responsibility, the firm may still have certain obligations. For example, a lawyer's obligation to the court cannot be delegated to a client. In addition, even if the client supervises the work, the client could still blame the lawyer if things go wrong. Therefore, lawyers need to ensure they have the proper level of involvement and knowledge relating to the outside work. Lawyers may not be able to disclaim all responsibility because the client agreed to oversee the non-lawyer work.
Let's move on to client communications and consent. There are certain services that firms often outsource, such as large scanning projects. Most lawyers don't want to bother their clients with that level of detail. Do they need to inform the client and get their consent every time they work with any outside vendor?
In general, we do suggest erring on the side of disclosing and seeking client consent. Most firms disclose in their engagement letters they use outside vendors for routine tasks such as scanning and copying. Then they deal with the more complicated situations, such as outsourcing a legal opinion to another firm, as those situations come up. Opinion 451 can be confusing on this issue. For one thing, it detours to discuss Opinion 356, which discusses temporary lawyers in general, including whether Rule 1.2 and Rule 1.4 require lawyers to disclose to the client whenever they use temporary lawyers. Opinion 356 concluded that the answer depends on how closely the hiring lawyer supervises the temporary lawyer. But Opinion 451 points out an additional reason for disclosure and client consent. Under Rule 1.6, a lawyer may not reveal confidential client information without the client's consent. When the lawyer reveals confidential information to someone within their own firm, consent is implied, but that probably doesn't extend to the outsourcing situation. If you are unsure, we suggest talking to your general counsel. Of course, informing your client and getting client consent is always a safe route. Make sure to document your communications and the client consent in writing. It can be an email or another type of writing.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners are wondering about fees and billing. Is it okay for firms to mark up the amount they pay to the external provider when they bill clients for it?
Maybe. The fee has to be reasonable and otherwise comply with Rule 1.5. When it comes to external work by lawyers, Opinion 451 says a firm may increase the fee charged to the client for contracted work if a firm lawyer directly supervises the work and the increased amount is reasonable. If there's no direct firm supervision, such as when the firm sends documents out for copying, then an additional fee cannot be added. In that case, the firm can include the cost of copying service on its invoice as a disbursement. You know, just like it treats expert fees or court reporter fees. But it can't add an upcharge unless the firm incurs associated overhead. That could be the case if, for example, it allows the external copy service to occupy space in the firm. A word of caution here, always check the rules and authorities in the relevant jurisdiction because there can be a lot of variation on this issue.
What if the firm pays a commission to the placement agency it uses to hire contract lawyers? Is there a risk that this will be considered sharing fees with non-lawyers?
Probably not, according to Opinion 356. But again, it depends on the circumstances. We suggest you consult with your general counsel to confirm you have the right process in place.
Thanks, Claudia. You've given us a lot to consider. Do you have any closing thoughts?
Yes. While outsourcing certain legal tasks is common and can be useful to reduce expenses for clients and firms and can lead to increased efficiency, it's important to remember the ethical implications of outsourcing legal services and to comply with the rules. Unfortunately, lawyers can become too comfortable with outsourcing and skip diligence, seeking client consent, or supervising the work. At the end of the day, while outsourcing is common, lawyers do bear responsibility and can run into trouble when they forget to take their ethical obligations into consideration.
Claudia, thanks for joining us today.
It was a pleasure.
Until next time, I'm Terry Garland, and this is The Portable Ethics Lawyer.
This podcast is provided for educational purposes to assist lawyers in avoiding ethics violations, malpractice suits, other professional liability claims, and management liability claims. This podcast does not constitute legal advice and is not intended to establish an attorney-client relationship, nor is it intended to suggest or establish standards of care applicable to particular lawyers in any given situation. The recommendations contained in this podcast are not necessarily appropriate for every lawyer or law firm. In determining the best course of action, lawyers should consider the applicable legal authorities and all relevant facts and circumstances. Copyright 2023 by Attorneys Liability Assurance Society. All rights reserved.